Welcome to the Narratives Library. Even the author found the complexities of this story hard to keep straight when she was writing it. Two teenage boys share a terrible secret, which we all know at the start, but we don't know why or how it happened.
They've been featured almost every day since the story broke. No names, of course, and pixelated faces, but I know who they are. Everyone knows. They slipped out of the headlines for a bit because of a more important story, but today they're back. Today they are everywhere. There's a shot of Alex from behind getting out of the police car in front of the courthouse. His hands are cuffed and he seems unsure of his step. Jake is sitting in the back seat of a car, his hoodie is pulled down low and his cuffed hands are held up to cover his face. Will this be the last time I ever see them? My parents have been so concerned about how I'll take it all that they keep turning off the news and switching off the radio, as if they can somehow protect me. I haven't told them yet about the journalists calling, leaving messages in the night, asking around about what makes me tick. But I know it's only a matter of time before something pops up in the news about me too. The girlfriend, the friend. I've been home from school for a couple of weeks leading up to the sentencing hearing. Mum said I could stay home longer. Dad said we could move again. But I'm not running. Not because of Alex and Jake. They don't get to make me leave. I've already lost both of them. I can't lose anything else. So today I'm going back to school. I know it's going to be all stares and whispers, but I can handle that. What I can't handle is that I didn't guess what they'd done, that I didn't see how guilty they both were, that I didn't understand what was pulling them together and what was tearing them apart. Usually I'd ride to school, but today I'm on foot. I feel more secure on the ground. I've only ever been at this school with Alex or Jake. They were my introduction. Now they're in court waiting to be sentenced, and I'm walking through suburban streets, dodging little kids on scooters and pretending to be okay. I expected more to be different, but nothing is. Everyone else looks the same. The rubbish bins are still parked in their lines waiting to be emptied. The milk bar is still closed when it should be open. It's just me who's changed. "Hey, Ellie," says a voice. I turn, expecting the worst, but Tien's face lights up in a smile and I exhale. He's wearing his favourite T-shirt, the one with the periodic table on the front, announcing to the world he's a science geek. "Let's pretend it didn't happen," he says, walking closer. I nod. "Great idea. Thought we could hang out at lunch. You've missed heaps, but I can catch you up," he says as we walk through the open gate and out into the school grounds. A couple of kids stare as they pass us, but Tien doesn't seem to notice. Or if he does, he's ignoring it. Of course this is getting to him too. It's affecting all of us. The pool of damage has spread to anyone who cares. I hadn't considered that. We pass the bike shed and I automatically look across like I'm trying to find Alex, because that's where he'd wait for me in the mornings. Instead, it's just a couple of year sevens goofing around with a bike lock. "Ellie, if anyone says anything, let Lucas know. He'll sort him out. He's looking for excuses to punch someone," says Tien as we reach the door into the main red brick building. I laugh, surprised I still can. Then Tien pauses and reaches out to rub my shoulder. It's so tender that I don't know where to look. Then he shrugs like he can't offer me more than that, and I watch as he heads the other way down the corridor, leaving me alone in a school of more than 1,000. Everywhere I look, I see their shadows. The wall Alex kissed me against. The seat Jake used to wait for me at before lunch. I keep walking until I reach their lockers. Someone has got to them with a Sharpie. Angry words shout out in black and I try not to read them. I open Alex's old locker and shove my bag in. I see his neat handwriting on the inside of the locker wall. Alex for Ellie. I remember when he scribbled that on his last day of school and how I wanted him. How I loved him and how I hate him now that everything has changed. If only we could all go back to the way it was before.
You've been listening to Nova Winkman reading from her novel, Everything Is Changed. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.